You're listening to Princeton Lacks Cash, the official podcast of the six-time NCAA national champion Princeton men's lacrosse program. Now here's your host, Jerry Price.
Welcome to the first Princeton Lacks Cast of the 2018 season. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Tiger head coach Matt Matalon. Coach, welcome to year two of our Lacks Cast.
Happy to be here. Happy to share with the Tiger faithful. Excited for this year.
So my experience of doing our Lacks Casts has led to the court report, which I've been doing all year with Courtney Banghart, the women's basketball coach. And they had a big win this week. They had a couple of big wins this week, but they had the big win Tuesday night against Penn. And, you talk about other coaches at Princeton and things that you see from them. But talk a little bit about Courtney and maybe some other coaches here that, as a young head coach yourself, as now you're in, starting your second full season, your third year as a head coach, that maybe you pull some things from.
Sure. Well, first off, congrats to our women's basketball team. They had an outstanding win against Penn. And I was just, Jerry and I were just talking, and they play loose and fast and aggressive. And she does such a great job with her kids. Clearly organizationally, coaches, X and O's wise, she's at the top of her profession. But, recruiting wise, how she handles herself, manages her teams, the emotion, she's an outstanding coach. So, I was fortunate enough to sit down with Coach Banghart early in my career when I'd first taken over. And she just kind of, just helped me with just an understanding of how to manage the Princeton student athlete and how specifically she pushes her team at different points of the year. So super helpful. Being up in the Dillon Tower, I'm very close to the women's head coach, Chris Saylor, and the men's soccer coach, Jimmy Barlow. Both true professionals in their fields and outstanding coaches. So both of those coaches have been very helpful in terms of how to manage the Princeton student athlete, but also how to be successful here within the department and how to continue to grow.
I mean, are there things you can take? I mean, there's the diversity of sports here is so wild. Like how a lacrosse program works versus how a tennis team works versus how a basketball team or a football team or a swim team. They're all so different, but there have to be common denominators of coaching in the Ivy League and at Princeton and recruiting and all those things.
Well, there absolutely are. The men's lacrosse team here is the second largest team on campus outside of our football program. So I think that in terms of a numbers and a management piece, it's a little different. But what I have leaned on these coaches for is, how to win recruiting battles against like schools, again, how to manage their student athletes, but less about the actual, X's and O's, but more about just how to manage your program, through a 12-month calendar year.
So it's game week for the Tigers, finally. And actually, finally, to me, isn't really the right word. It's game week for the Ivy League, whereas everybody else has played already. But to me, that's too early for everybody to have played. And I've been outside now at two games and five scrimmages before that. And it's cold out there. And, I would love to see – I know all the reasons why not, but I would love to see lacrosse played starting March 1st as opposed to February 1st and push the end of the season back and – play more games in good weather, but I know why that doesn't happen, and it's not up to me to do that, and it's not up to you to do that, and your team has a game on Saturday. So let's talk about the Tigers as they move into 2018. To me, there's three main storylines for Princeton. One is Jeremy Hirsch is the sixth defensive coordinator in 6 years. So obviously there's a lack of continuity there, but you and he and the players have talked about trying to maintain continuity from what Jesse Bernhardt was doing last year to what Jeremy's doing this year with a lot of guys back on defense. That's one storyline to me. The second storyline is what in the world do you do without Zach Currier to make up for all the things that Currier did? Because you're not going to ever have anybody have a season like he had again. And then the third one is the Michael Sowers piece and being a sophomore after what he did as a freshman and what is his impact going to be on the offense this year? What is he capable of and how much better is he going to make the guys around him? So you can start with any of those three or you can pick one of your own, but where would you start with the 2018?
Well, I'll hit all three of those. But first, in terms of the start date, universal start date for Division I lacrosse would make a whole lot of sense. There are players in the country right now, Justin Guttering down at Duke, who has 27 points already, which is ridiculous.
Like, and Michael Sowers will not catch Guttering.
Hopefully it'll even out in terms of games played, sure. But a universal start date. And then, really, I would love to see Memorial Weekend kick off the NCAA playoff tournament. I think being able to move it back and have that be a big rally point for, hey, the NCAA men's playoffs are starting, I think it'd be awesome. But
one thing I hate about the early games is those games, when it comes to NCAA tournament time, you don't take into account, you know, Villanova has a win over Penn State. Penn State figures to be a bubble team. Villanova possibly figures to be a bubble team. Come the end of the year, they're holding a win over Penn State. That's all anybody's going to know. Villanova beat Penn State. The fact that they beat them in overtime inside Penn State's practice facility on February 3rd isn't going to enter into the equation.
No, it's a shame. It's not a good look for the sport. We got to sort this out at one time or another, and we're getting our governing body in line. But you're right. I mean, it's a great point. These early games, you know, they're challenging for teams.
And that's not a knock on Villanova because they won the game. But still, I mean, that's going to count as much as, you know, if they beat Denver in April or whatever, they're gonna have the same chip.
I mean, Denver played Air Force this past weekend in an absolute blizzard. You could barely see the lines, and I know that's some funny weather out there, but still, I mean, that's a tough go. That's putting our guys, you know, at a high risk for injury. But neither here nor there. To the storylines.
Where do you want to start?
I'll start with Coach Hirsch. You know, I'm smiling right now. You guys can't see, but Coach Hirsch has been a wonderful addition to our staff. When we had hired Coach Jesse Bernhardt, you know, we sat down as a staff and worked on implementing a Princeton defensive system, one that would be here long after Coach Bernhardt, you know, whether he was here for 5, 10 years or whether he was here for 1 year. It was a universal staff decision between myself, Coach March, and Coach Bernhardt to figure out how we were going to approach our defense. Fundamentally, skill development, he did an outstanding job. Through the interview process, we were very concerned about bringing in a very like-minded person. Coach Hirsch has been wonderful. He's brought, you know, great energy to our staff, great discipline, great preparation, and he's doing a really good job with building relationships with our players. I think that's something that at times goes overlooked. You always want to hire the best X's and O's guys, but you really want to hire guys that can connect with these guys. And really get through to him and really get him to believe. So he's doing a wonderful job. I'm hoping that the continuity clicks in quickly, and I think it will. I think you guys will be excited to see our defensive unit. So
talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about personnel then. So graduating Bear Goldstein, who was a basically 4-year starter, first team All-Ivy defender last year. The other two starters are back: Armin Migulci and Daniel Winshu. Aaron Roberts is back healthy after basically missing all of 2 years. A lot of goalies, and then a lot of freshman pulls. A couple of familiar guys are back. Nick Bauer's back. Alistair Bourbon graduating. And then the short stick should be pretty good, too.
Biggest difference for us down there this year at that end of the field is competition. You know, we just, you know, in terms of depth, we brought in 5 defensemen and 2 goalies this year, which is rare for a recruiting class here at Princeton. But we needed to add depth, and we needed to add athleticism. And that'll kind of wipe out the complacency piece of guys feeling like they've got their spot locked in, which that competition will drive a higher performing unit. So, Armin Migulci coming back, you know, he's been a pleasure to coach. He's now in his sophomore year, very savvy, very athletic, very high lacrosse IQ, very instinctual. You know, Danny Winshu's our kind of local bruiser. He's been doing a good job down there for us. Aaron Roberts, you know, he brings some edge to that defense. And then Nick Bauer, Charlie Terry add incredible depth up at the LSM position. We've got 2 young guys fighting it out right now. Andrew Song, Roxbury Latin guy, you know, and George Bond, a Philly guy. And both those guys, you know, bring a different dynamic, speed, tenacity, you know, slick off the ground. So excited, you know. And then our short stick defensive midfield position, we return a lot of depth there. You know, we return actually all 3 guys, Mike Marine, JT Caputo, and Chase Williams. And Jasper Arnold, a St. Albans product, has added some great depth for us as well.
Yeah, and the other key loss on defense was Sam Gravett, who played long stick, short stick, LSM, basically did everything that you could have asked on the defensive end.
Yeah, Sam never got enough credit. He was a true utility player. He did whatever we asked. He grinded it out. He was an excellent athlete.
Can sing, dance, and act.
He's one of the more talented guys I'll ever get to coach, on and off the field.
So speaking of talented guys that you get to coach, Currier. So last year, 24 goals, which is a lot of goals for a midfielder. Just the goals alone, 24 is a lot for a midfielder. Then the assists, 34 assists, which is an insane number of assists for a midfielder. It's more than Schreiber ever had in his career here in the season. People forget that about Currier. 34 assists last year. Then there's the 130 ground balls, which is one off the school record. Then there was the 56% faceoff winning percentage. And, oh, on top of all of that, he's the guy who led the team and caused turnovers. Nobody's going to do all that stuff. So how do you piece all that together? And I guess, like, basically what a lot of that boils down to is getting possessions.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we talked a lot about last year. You heard me talk about complementary lacrosse. And what that means is just being systematically being able to manufacture stop, gains possessions, control time and tempo of the game. Things that, as talented as we were offensively last year, you know, we needed to focus. We needed to put it under a microscope in the offseason. You know, Courier is, again, he's a special, special one. He currently actually is second in loose balls in the NLL behind, I can't remember who he's behind, but the person he's behind, he's played one less game than. He's fourth in the NLL in caused turnovers as a rookie. And he
was a Major League Lacrosse All-Star.
And he was a Major League Lacrosse All-Star, you know, coming out of his college campaign. So he's going to be a longtime pro. You should see his face on the world team for Canada. He'll be doing a heck of a job. And, you know, he's a wonderful, wonderful person and a great supporter of our program. But, yes, he will be missed.
And a Princeton grad with a degree in civil engineering.
Yeah, he's a special one. So replacing him, again, it's going to have to come from all angles. There's no Zach Courier hidden somewhere on our bench. There's no Zach Courier on anyone's bench in the country. So with that, you know, we've got to do a good job manufacturing possessions around the faceoff X. We've got Sam Bottafidi, a senior. We've got Ralph Schrappa and Philip Thompson as sophomores. We've got a newcomer, Jack Henry Vara, who's going to do a really good job for us. Four different weapons that we're all going to use. Wing play, we're still developing some personnel there. To figure out our tendencies and kind of where the ball squirts out. And then, you know, what Zach didn't get enough credit for were his ground balls. A lot of them were off the faceoff, but a lot of them were on secondary offensive possessions, were offensive loose balls where he earned our offense second chance opportunities. And that's something we preach as a program. We really take pride when the ball hits the ground. You know, we want Princeton helmets swarming it. We want to come up fast and physical with that ground ball. And he just had a knack for it.
So that takes us to Sowers. And last year, 41 goals, 41 assists. Some of his accolades and accomplishments from last year. That's the school record for points in a season, 82. He did it as a freshman. Think of all the great players who ever played her. With Sowers, the offense went from 10 goals a game to just under 15, the number 2 scoring offense in the country. Third team All-America, first team All-Ivy, Ivy League Rookie of the Year, Ivy League record for points, Ivy League record for goals. Now, when I first saw Sowers play here, I'm thinking, you know, 15 goals, 41 assists, not 41 goals, 41 assists. On top of all that, he's worked hard to make himself a much better player now. So now you have Sowers as a sophomore, but on top of all of that, he also has a very big target on his back now because he is the first thing people will think of when they think of Princeton lacrosse. And now the cast around him, some of it's the same, and then some of it is guys who haven't had to do it before. So in addition to Sowers, Riley Thompson and Austin Sims, who along with Bonafide are the captains, those guys are real veteran scorers on offense, know what they're doing. You know, Sims is as good a midfielder as there is in the country. And then you got to fill the pieces in around them.
Sure. I mean, look, Michael did an outstanding job his freshman year. And he had some really talented players in Gavin McBride and Zach Courier around him to kind of show him the ropes, take a little pressure off him, occupy certain defensemen that really allowed his skill set to really excel within the framework of our offense. Now, coming back this year, you know, you said it as a guy that's in-house, in our program, around it all the time. His work ethic's incredible. And that work ethic will continue to permeate through our entire program. And he's continued to kind of to strengthen all parts of his game. He's going to do a great job. You know, he's a young guy that puts a ton of pressure on himself, but he puts a ton of pressure on himself because he wants to be the best, and he wants Princeton lacrosse to be the best. And what is most impressive about him in year two is his connection to Coach March, his offensive IQ, his ability to make everyone around him better, not only in practice but in games. And that's a piece of it that, you know, that's invaluable, to be able to understand really when, you know, whether it be him getting shut off, whether it be him getting pressed. We're going to see some different defenses, we can imagine. And he is smart enough to be able to react accordingly, whether he has the ball or whether he doesn't have the ball. So we're really thrilled to see him take a step forward as a sophomore. You know, in the complimentary pieces you mentioned, in Austin Sims, Riley Thompson, those guys have been mainstays on our offense. Between those three, I mean, Riley and Austin are mini offensive coordinators on the field. You know, they are so in sync with Coach March and our systems. that it's, I mean, it's refreshing and it's, you know, it's inspiring to see how these guys watch tape and watch film.
So Gavin McBride last year is the big loss to graduation on offense. He set the school record for goals in the season with 54. And, you know, I don't want to jinx anything or get ahead of anybody, but everybody stays healthy and things play out the way they can. I mean, I could see Austin Sims making a real run at that.
Ah, we can only hope. I mean, that'd be wonderful, you know.
I mean, that, you know, look, I mean, he struggled with injuries last year, but he had 6 goals against Hopkins, 6 more against Quinnipiac the next game. I mean, he is, you know, you want to talk about guys who can score from the midfield. I mean, he's up there.
Absolutely. And we're going to, you know, we're going to look a little differently. We're going to be running some different sets, you know, trying to get people into different spots. But again, Austin, you know, he does. I mean, Gavin was so wonderful, not only as a captain and as a teammate, but he just, what Gavin did better than anyone was maximize opportunities. He never took the opportunities and the creativity away from Sowers or Courier. He let those guys make the mistakes, and he just didn't make mistakes. He capitalized when he could. If not, he moved the ball on, let us fight another day, and then made an opportunity when he could.
We also developed great chemistry with Sowers off the bat. And so now you have other guys coming in, Philip Robertson, maybe Andrew Bowman plays a lot, Braden Gate, Connor McCarthy, freshman Chris Brown, maybe a couple other guys. And, you know, you got to develop different chemistry too.
Yeah, I mean, what we're most excited for is the guys you mentioned, the sophomores and juniors that have been sitting on the bench, kind of waiting their turn, grinding it out, learning the systems, developing skill development, system development. So we're really hoping some of those guys can seize their opportunity and carry us a little bit. You know, I mean, the targets are going to be on Austin and Michael and Riley and those guys. So it's the complementary players around you that really make a great offensive unit.
So we're going to be here every week during the season talking about Princeton lacrosse like we did last year, and we're going to try and keep it to 15 minutes, and we're already past that, and we apologize for this time, but it's the first one, so you kind of want to go through the roster a little bit and see who's going to play. And we left out the goalies. And of course, Tyler Blaisdell, senior, first-team All-Ivy last year. He started the last 34 games in goal, but a lot of competition behind him this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, as a former goalie myself, you know, if you ever have an opportunity to talk to these guys, you know, it's not easy to be a goalie at Princeton. I'm pretty hard on these guys. I expect a lot out of them. So Tyler's done a good job of standing up to it. He had a good fall. He's had a good preseason. He's got John Levine right on his heels. So we're excited to see how that shapes out, but we're hoping Tyler locks it down for us early.
So opening day is Saturday at 1 o'clock against Monmouth, the first ever meeting between Princeton and Monmouth. And Monmouth, in its fifth year of a program, has already built itself into something special. A few things. One is, I think it's great for New Jersey to have another team that is doing well. Last year, Monmouth won the MAC championship, played the NCAA tournament for the first time. Preseason pick to win the MAC. Got a bunch of all-MAC guys coming back and preseason all-MAC guys. So, like, but also, I think just the piece of it of this year for the first time playing the other three New Jersey teams, first meeting against Monmouth. It's Monmouth's first game against an Ivy League team in their program's history. But I also think that, you know, they've done some really good things in a very short time there.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Fisher, you know, he came from Notre Dame. He started that program. He's done a very good job. He's got his guys clicking. He's a very organized coach. So, you know, we're excited for a good game. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a test, and we're looking forward to the match.
And then just looking a little bit beyond at the rest of the schedule, some major changes this year. No Hofstra, but a trip to Virginia in week two. Siena is on the schedule. Monmouth is the other team for the first time. And then no game this year against Marist and no game against Quinnipiac, the opponents from last year. So the schedule changed a bit. I know that you want to challenge the guys. And, you know, there's a lot of big-time games there. There's Rutgers, who's a top-10 team. Hopkins, a top-10 team. Virginia, I don't know where they're ranked now, but they're probably flirting
trending
with the top-10. So, you know, that's a lot of challenges coming up in a short time.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, look, you know, there are two camps. You know, you can kind of start slow and peak at the right time, or you can start fast and kind of see what you're made of and hopefully then make your adjustments and then get ready for the tournament. So, you know, we've always looked to test our guys early. We think it bodes well for us. You know, Monmouth, Virginia, Hopkins, Rutgers, I mean, that's an early stretch that'll absolutely test us, see what we're made of. We'll be able to make system tweaks, develop pieces so that, you know, we can take care of the Ivy League.
So it starts this Saturday against Monmouth. That'll be on Sherrod Field at 1 o'clock. The next home game would be the one against NJIT on March 6th, and then Rutgers on March 10th, Penn March 17th as you get into the Ivy League. Pretty exciting year, Princeton lacrosse coming. Obviously a chance to see some great players like Michael Sowers and Austin Sims. And then it's also fun to watch the chemistry develop year to year and see some of these freshmen step in and some of the guys who are returning players who haven't had to play a lot in the past. Should be an exciting year. Princeton lacrosse should be a very good year of Ivy League lacrosse. I would think, you know, a lot of teams looking like they're improved, and we're looking forward to it. Coach Madelon, thanks for being with us here on the first Princeton Laxcast, and we look forward to talking to you each week.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Once again, Princeton Monmouth, that's Saturday at 1 o'clock on Sherrod Field, and again, thank you for your support of Princeton Men's Lacrosse.